And now it's time for Crocheting with Ron. Wait, that can't be right. Now it's time for Okay. Now it's time for Crotchety Old Ron. That makes much more sense. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay, no big deal.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Don't get your panties in a bunch. I love that. I don't know what it means, but I love it. Don't get your panties in a bunch. I got a bunch of panties here. What the hell does that mean? We're going to get all of our panties and we're going to put them in a large bunch. No, don't get your panties in a bunch. All right. I just love saying panties in a bunch. I just think it's so funny. Do you ever see panties in a bunch? I saw a bunch of bananas in the supermarket, but not a bunch of panties. Maybe in the clothing store at Kohl's or something, you'd see a bunch of panties. But whatever you do, oh my God, whatever you do, oh, don't put them in a bunch. Don't do it. Thank you for stopping by. Thank you. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I name it accordingly to the name of the host, whom I am vastly familiar with. How are you today? Don't answer. I can't hear you. It's rhetorical, especially on radio. I mean, come on. Anyway, I don't know what day of the week this is. I don't know what time it is. It's not my business. I went to one of those stores that's located everywhere. No, not McDonald's. The CVS, the Consumer Value Store. Is that what it is? I don't even know. I'm getting my panties in a bunch. Anyway, I went in there. I bought a pack of gum and as a result got the Dead Sea Scrolls out of the register. Yeah. You don't have to buy much of anything for them to print out a receipt that rivals the length of the Boston Marathon, pretty much. It's amazing how long that receipt is. And in giving you the receipt, of course, there are many coupons attached for things that you will never buy. I think what CVS does, it analyzes what you've just purchased because of artificial intelligence. There's no intelligence anymore. It's all artificial. It's like artificial sweeteners. They see what you've bought and they come up with coupons that you could never possibly ever use. And that's what they do. And they print them out and they make you think like, ooh, I've got a treasure trove of coupons that you don't need. Or it's the coupon is for something that you just bought. What good does that do me now? Well, that's supposedly for the next time you buy it, supposing that I want more of what I just bought, I don't know. But by the time I need what I just bought again, the coupon will have expired. They're very cagey. They do things in a cage, ladies and gentlemen. They know what they're doing with their stupid coupons. It's unbelievable. And then I get these coupons, 30% off. Oh, my God. Off of your $200 purchase. Oh, that's in small print. They know what they're doing, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. Your little coupons. You know what you should do? is you buy something, and then in the receipt you have a coupon for that very thing that you just bought for 20% off. Here's what you do. You go back the next day, you return that item. So I don't want this. I don't need this. I don't want it. I bought it by mistake. That's your reason for returning? You bought it by mistake? Yeah. My reason is I'm an asshole. I didn't know what I was doing. I bought it by mistake. How do you buy something by mistake? I don't know. I was stupid. I hadn't had my coffee yet. It was the biggest mistake of my life. I'm returning it. I bought it by mistake. My fault. My bad. Sorry. I don't want it. You return it, and then you go right back to the shelf where you got it from, and you buy another one, this time with your 20% off coupon. That's called screwing with the system. It's a legal thing to do. You got to play these people. They're playing you. You got to play them right back. They're going to market you. You're going to market them right back. So anyway, so I'm in CVS, and I'm running low on toothpaste. Toothpaste is one of those things that you always will need if you have teeth. It's like toilet paper. As long as you have an ass to scratch, you're going to need toilet paper. I don't think that's what you do with toilet paper, but I'm just cleaning it up a little bit. Everybody needs toilet paper. Everybody. Everybody. Remember during the pandemic, there wasn't any toilet paper available? The shelves were completely bare of toilet paper? Pandemics will do that. First thing that's hit is toilet paper. I'm telling you, man. Anyway, so I'm in the toothpaste aisle. The Isle of Toothpaste. Sounds like an island somewhere in the Bahamas. I'm staying at the Isle of Toothpaste. Oh, sounds nice. It's lovely here. So I'm looking at the aisle, and I want a toothpaste, you know, that does what I want it to do. Here's what I want the toothpaste to do at my age. Clean my freaking teeth. Make sure that my gums don't recede. And get the tartar out of there. And strengthen my enamel. There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. There are some brands that have the toothpaste. By the way, the toothpaste is full of toothpaste possibilities. I remember when I was growing up, there was just toothpaste. There's toothpaste. You go to the store and you go to the shelf and there's a lot of brands, and on the box it says toothpaste. Okay. That was simple. Now there's too many different kinds of toothpastes. They have in a box the toothpaste with enamel strengthening possibilities. They have the toothpaste for receding gums. They have the toothpaste for whitening. Whitening is big now. That's a big factor. Need the whitening. Tartar control. Well, sir, this is General McSkivens. Tartar control, sir. Get back to your job and continue your tartar control. I can't. The tartar's out of control. So there's tartar control toothpaste. There's whitening toothpaste. Now they have something called renewal. I don't know. I guess that's if your driver's license is expiring or something. I don't know. There's renewal. And then there's, of course, toothpaste for yellow teeth, you know, tartar. You don't want tartar sauce in there. By the way, what the hell is tartar sauce? Oh, my God. Is it what I think it is? All that tartar between my teeth, they put it in a jar and they put it on fish? Don't call it tartar control. Then don't call it. Someone's got to change this. Either you got to change the name of that tartar on your teeth, or you got to change the name of that sauce that you put on fish. Someone's got to give in on this. Don't call it tartar. Ugh. Call it tartar. Anyway, tartar control, whitening, enamel strengthening, gum, gingivitis. Ooh, gingivitis. Sounds horrible. Yeah, it's a gum thing. There's a toothpaste type for every person on the planet, and not to be repeated by any one person to another. There's so many different types of toothpaste. Then, and this is what I don't understand. Then they make a toothpaste, and its capabilities are called Total. They call it Crest Complete or Crest Total or something, or Colgate Total, and this takes care of all the shit. It takes care. See all those boxes we put all those UPC labels? Don't pay attention. Just get the one that has everything in it. What's your problem? Well, I don't want my teeth whitened. I just want to control the tartar. What? I just want to whiten my teeth. I don't give a crap about the gums receding or there's tartar all over the place here in my mouth. I just want them white. Well, then just get the one that just whitens and that's it. Why would you do that? Why don't you get the one that has everything in it? Is it more expensive? I don't know. At this point, you're screwed anyway. Get the one with everything in it. Seriously. It's not like a bagel, though. It's not like a bagel. When I go to get a bagel, which I rarely do because it's not good for me, there's a bagel that's called it's got everything in it. It's the everything bagel. I mean, they just put everything in it. Hey, where are my socks? They're in the bagel. Everything's in that bagel. Everything. What do you mean? It's all in there. But I don't like the everything bagel because I don't like certain things. I don't care for the garlic in a bagel. Why? What's the point of that? I don't know what else. I think they're putting the automobile parts in there. I don't like certain spices and things like, so I don't want everything in the bagel. So I'm not into the everything bagel. And one would think, why don't you get the bagel that has everything in it? I mean, it's the same price. Why don't you do that? Because I don't like everything. Toothpaste, different. There isn't any component of toothpaste that I can't really use. So I just get the complete total stuff. Why are the toothpaste companies bothering with such specific toothpastes? It's just so stupid. I should be a toothpaste company president or something. I should be Ron Colgate. Something like that. Then they have the toothpaste that aren't the big brands. There's an Uncle Tom's Cabin or something, or Bobby's Toothpaste. And that supposedly is better because some schmuck is making toothpaste in his garage. I mean, I don't know. I'm confused by the two. I just get the everything toothpaste. You know what I'm saying? I don't want my teeth white. I'm not getting that because it's got tooth the whitening in it. I don't want my teeth white. I prefer them yellow. Goes with my complexion. I like the yellow look. I like it off color. It's like an accent wall. I like it. You're crazy. You're just crazy is what you are. Toothpaste is weird, man. But we all use it. We all brush eventually. I don't know. I get confused by shopping sometimes. There's just so many. Even laundry detergent. They've got it with stain lifters. And then they've got laundry detergent that is for cold water. And then they've got laundry detergent for sensitive skin. Oh, my skin is so sensitive. Why don't you just get the laundry detergent that has everything in it? What's your problem? I don't want the stains lifted. I want to keep the stains. Some of them actually have mixed some other things in it. There's that, what do they call that? Downy fabric sauce. I don't even know what fabric softener is. I don't know. My fabric was fine before it started. I don't need it softened more. But in some laundry detergents, now they add fabric softener is in the laundry detergent. Oh, I thought I had to buy that separately. No more. Okay. And it's Downy fabric softener. Oh, Downy. Oh. It's all very confusing. I don't know why they make it more complicated than it has to be. It's so much easier in manufacturing just to make one thing and sell the one thing. When you have like 20 variations of the product, I don't know how well you really do in manufacturing and how cost effective that really is. But they don't learn their lesson. I'll tell you something that I don't like. IPC. What do they call that? What do they call that stuff? Beer. Beer was fine before. There was nothing wrong with it. You had your American beer, Budweiser. You know, that was it. I'm going to get some Budweiser. Okay. Okay. They didn't even call it beer. They just call it, I'm going to get a Budweiser. You're talking about beer. Yeah, that's what I mean. And then they had the important beers, imported, not important. The imported beers, like Heineken. When you open up the bottle, it smells like there's a dead skunk inside. That Heineken. Some people do the Corona. You're supposed to stick a little piece of citrus in the top of the bottle or something. You know, these are the popular ones. They're imported. They're from other countries. Well, Corona from Mexico, obviously, because you can't drink the water. So, you know, seriously. They import the beers. That's fine. Heineken, yeah. Guinness, I happen to like the Guinness. That's very nice and smooth. I like that. But then we got into this IPO, IPC, IPW, where just people named Bob just like started brewing beer in their garage and started making it themselves. No one's got the balls to walk up to them and say, you know, when you make beer yourself, it kind of sucks. It just doesn't taste good. Some people are into that small brewery kind of beer stuff. I don't get it. I don't taste it. It's just like carbonated water to me. It's like piss beer. You know what piss beer is? It's beer that someone pissed into, and then you drink it. Ugh. Now, piss beer is just like weak, nothing crap. And that's what I find these IPOs, IPCs. I'm not into that stuff. I don't like it. Then you're trying to make different flavors of beer. Now we're into the flavor stuff. Have you noticed that in the beverages? We're into the flavor thing. Peanut butter beer. Interesting, but in the long run, it's kind of sucky. Kind of stupid. Kind of babyish. Kind of infantile, really. We have blueberry beer. Okay, whatever. I don't think that was the point of the beer, but whatever. Now we're doing it with vodkas. Ooh. Don't drink enough vodka? Now you will. Blueberry vodka, apple vodka, chocolate vodka, pineapple vodka, lime-flavored vodka, cucumber vodka, vanilla vodka, every flavor under peppermint vodka, caramel Kiss vodka. That's a real thing. All tasty as hell. All designed to ruin your life. Make you an alcoholic. I mean, you know, it's like kids are running the vodka companies, you know.
I don't think the vodka's tasty enough. Do you, Susie? No, I don't. Can you make a peppermint flavored vodka for the kids? Sure.
Come on, man. They do make some tasty martinis. But at the same time, I don't know, it's kind of like scary. making your vodka a little too attractive. As far as, and the real vodka drinkers who like a good martini, good dry martini, they don't put up with that stuff. What are you talking about, peppermint vodka? Go suck your mother. Come on, give me a break. Hey, don't get your panties in a bunch, okay? It's not that bad. Ladies and gentlemen, I have an interesting guest coming up momentarily. I hope that you agree with me as far as my impression of them. But first, we're going to take a short commercial break and then a little bit more. Do you like karaoke? Yeah, me too.
Ready for your next good time out with friends? Then come to karaoke night at that bar near your house. Grab the mic and belt out your favorites, or grab a drink, sit back, and enjoy the show. You'll see things like 12 drunk girls singing Love Shack, all in different keys. Check out the nice old lady who only performs Patsy Cline tunes and her gray-haired gentleman partner who apparently only knows Sinatra. Feel the love and warmth of a heartfelt ballad sung by a young man with a beautiful soprano voice who hasn't come out to his parents yet. Thrill to frat boys jacked up on tequila shots and Red Bull trying to pull off 90s gangster rap, or that Fall Down Get Up Again song by Chumbawamba. And clap along to that one girl who auditioned for American Idol once, singing like she's auditioning for American Idol. All this and more musical notes never before performed by a human voice at karaoke night at that bar near your house. Not too far to drive, just a little too far to walk. We'll see you there.
Oh. How about comedy night?
Looking to have a few laughs this weekend? Come to comedy night at that bar near your house. Hosted by that local comic who hasn't moved past open mic nights for 20 years. And featuring that guy who told everyone he was moving to Los Angeles to become a famous comic and was back in 3 months. That girl whose friends all say she's really funny. And your headliner, that guy who was nearly famous until it turned out he liked to send pictures of his penis to strangers. It's a night full of fun and laughs, and it's happening at that bar near your house. Not too far to drive, just a little too far to walk. We'll see you there.
Nizar Ibrahim joins us now, and we're talking about something that a lot of kids and a lot of adults are fascinated with, and that's dinosaurs. It's just always brings us into it. He's a dinosaur expert. Thanks for being with us today, Nizar.
Thanks for having me.
What is it about dinosaurs that keeps us like so hooked into the subject matter when dinosaurs aren't even here?
Well, I think that's part of their appeal, right? You know, when we look at fossils, we see these incredible, you know, ghosts from deep geological time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our imagination runs wild, right? Because we see these incredible towering skeletons. So that's certainly part of their appeal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're like real life dragons.
Yes, in a way they are. Are they related to birds? I've heard controversy on that.
Well, that's a good point. And I was going to mention that when you said, well, they're not around anymore. The thing is, when we think of dinosaurs, then, you know, we think of extinction, right?
Yes.
But we now know that many dinosaurs were feathered. So you could see, you know, if you look at images of Velociraptor, for example, mm-hmm. Accurate reconstructions would show Velociraptor with feathers. Other dinosaurs had feather-like integument. So we know that some dinosaurs were feathered. We know that dinosaurs share unique features mm-hmm. in their anatomy with birds. And we now know that birds are direct descendants of a group of small predatory dinosaurs. So scientifically speaking, we can absolutely say that birds are dinosaurs.
Wow.
They're not just kind of related to dinosaurs, they are dinosaurs.
Wow.
And there are more bird species in the world today than there are mammal species. So in some ways, you could even say we're still kind of in an age of dinosaurs.
In a way, yeah. Now, but were dinosaurs mammals or cold-blooded, warm-blooded? Which were they?
Well, so dinosaurs are reptiles.
Uh-huh.
And so when we look at modern-day reptiles, we see very different kinds of animals, right?
Mm-hmm.
We see animals with a sprawling gait.
Right.
And they are, you know, quote-unquote, cold-blooded.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with dinosaurs, we see that most of them have fully erect limbs, right, that
yes.
are stuck right under the body. We see very active animals, very agile animals. And we now know from a number of different lines of evidence that many dinosaurs were almost certainly warm-blooded
mm.
and had a very high metabolism, higher than that of many mammals and comparable to what we see in birds. which again is shouldn't come as a surprise because we know that, you know, birds are dinosaurs and they are warm-blooded. So with dinosaurs, we were always kind of stuck there because we thought, well, they're reptiles, but, you know, birds are dinosaurs. So we've got both ends of the spectrum there. Right. We now think that, you know, many dinosaurs were warm-blooded. Some of them may not have been. The predatory dinosaurs like T-Rex and Velociraptor and so on certainly were warm-blooded animals.
Yeah. It's fascinating how we're familiar with dinosaurs, but we know nothing about them as far as the legends are concerned. There's still people that think of the Flintstones where there were barbaric humans and cavemen, and then there were dinosaurs outside of the cave. That's still, like, I think the majority of people think that's the case. Do you find that to be true as well?
Well, it's a strange one. I mean, I think it's odd that someone would look at the Flintstones as a documentary film.
Well.
but it does happen. And the thing is, when you think of the timelines involved, here's something to blow your mind.
Yes.
So if you kind of look at the timeline, and you look at dinosaurs from, say, the Jurassic, like the Stegosaurus, right, with a big plate on its back, and then you look at the T-Rex from the very end of the Cretaceous. T-Rex is actually closer to us in time than it is to Stegosaurus, right?
Wow.
So when you think about these huge timescales involved, and of course, you know, the tens of millions of years have passed after the extinction of animals like T-Rex before humans enter the scene.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like an odd, you know, it's kind of like merging all of prehistory into one slice of time, you have, you know, cavemen and dinosaurs. And it's a vast story, right? Because, you know, when we think of prehistory, we often have these kind of very vague ideas of you know, kind of primeval Earth, right? But the reality is that, you know, our planet is 4.6 billion years old. We, and 99.9% of all the organisms and all the ecosystems that ever existed are extinct, right?
Yes.
So, you know, the majority of life on Earth is really all the stuff that happened before we even appeared on the scene.
I don't think the mind can really conceive that tens of millions of years have passed since.
It's a bit like when you think about the size of our universe, right?
Yeah.
We can't really wrap our head around that either. Yeah.
And the dinosaurs existed for millions of years, and we haven't been around all that long ourselves.
Yeah, we're not doing too well, I think, Ron.
Okay, well, there's the bottom line. And I think I kind of knew
that.
Yeah,
we can learn a thing or two from the dinosaurs, I think. When someone digs up our fossils, our time on planet Earth is not
a
success story, I think.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a little pinhead of everything else. Okay. There's another line of books coming out. Nat Geo Kids does a lot of these types of books, and another one's come out on the dinosaurs, I understand.
Yeah, they have lots of amazing books on dinosaurs. And when I say amazing, I say that because I was the scientific consultant for several of them. And they're great books. I just finished work on a book on T-Rex. There's a book on dinosaur records. There's lots of amazing topics to explore. And that's really the best starting point, I think, for kids. I mean, that's how my interest in dinosaurs started, right? Started with a book.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's really the best thing you can do if you want to nourish, you know, your kids' interest in all things prehistoric.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And I think it also helps a person understand the timeline of existence of things on this planet. I think that's also an important way of introducing that as well. Wow.
I think that's important for kids and adults, right? Because it teaches us some humility, right?
Yeah.
I think we always believe that we're super special and important, but then when you look at the bigger picture and the grand scheme of things, then, you know, you realize we're not really that big a deal.
Well, I mean, we can be amazed at valleys and chasms that are carved out over the centuries, but to find a dinosaur bone that's millions of years old, geez, I mean, that's got to blow your mind.
It does. Every time I find a fossil, it's a magical moment, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're looking at something that nobody else has ever seen before.
Yes.
And it's just, it allows me to become a real-life time traveler, right? So, you know, it doesn't have to be a dinosaur fossil. So, for example, here's one thing that I think is always amazing. You know, I do a lot of field work in the Sahara Desert, one of the driest, most inhospitable places you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm out there, I find giant fish scales. And those fish scales tell me that this place was full of water at some point, right? It was a river system.
Yes.
And that's just incredible, right? To just, you know, and then in your mind, you really can travel back in time.
It's amazing. I mean, I'm amazed that there's a grocery store where there's a McDonald's, where the McDonald's used to be. I still can't get over that. Okay. So I guess things change. All right. How do we get a hold of the book, and is there a website where we can follow this?
Sure. One of the best places to start would be on kids.nationalgeographic.com/animals/prehistoric. You can find out more about the latest discoveries, you can find out more about Dinomania, and you can find out more, most importantly, about the incredible range of books on dinosaurs they have. So that's really your go-to place for all things dinosaurs.
Beautiful. Nizar, thank you so much for your time today. It's been fascinating. We appreciate it. I wish you peace. Go away now.